In this week's show, I discuss alternative healing with homeopath Dr. Yashantha Padiachi, the importance of collaboration between practitioners to best help their patients, and the emotional connection to disease and autoimmune problems. Managing patient expectations and learning to communicate with your healthcare practitioner is really such an important step when you're wanting to finally get well. We delve into women's health, the pros and cons of contraceptive pills, and taking control of your health for once and for all.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's always lovely to spend time with you. So, yeah, I guess my story, why did I want to do this? So I had a grandmother I was very close to, and she had a stroke when I was very young, possibly about 9 or 10, and I couldn't understand why she wasn't getting better. She would have like heaps of medicines next to her bed and progressively, you know, lost functionality, and her medicine doses increased and her variety of medicines also increased. And it didn't make sense to me, you know, as a young person, why is she taking the medicines? She should be getting better. And that sparked off a bit of a journey for me in wondering about what is real healing. Is it just management? Is it just staying alive? Or is it healing your body and coming back to, well, a new normal? I wouldn't say the old normal, but a new normal. And I came across homeopathy, and at that stage, it was one of the very few natural-based degrees you could do that allowed you to see patients and look at medicine much more critically. So I got into it, finished school, and I knew that was the only thing I really wanted to do. Yeah, of course, I wanted to do other things, but that was the main thing that I wanted to do. And a very interesting university career choice, because only two universities offer this degree in South Africa, and you do get some great perks that go along with it, but, you know, like everything, it has its pros and cons. And I found when I was in private practice, I had to expand and look at other things, nutritional supplements largely, as well as diet. We do cover diet in our degree, but not as extensively as you'd need to really, really change someone's lifestyle. So I found I had a few other interests, and it just grew into something really different. So I wouldn't call myself a classical homeopath. Exactly like you said, a functional homeopath. So yeah, just really passionate about helping people getting to the better or the best version of themselves.
What we're seeing nowadays more and more is a collaboration between practitioners. Mm-hmm. I would refer to you, refer to me, we'd send to a specialist endocrinologist where appropriate. Mm-hmm. And where medicine or medical practitioners, healthcare practitioners can work as a team, mm-hmm. we're seeing really, really good results with patients, because definitely. Nobody can be everything to everybody.
Agreed.
What are you seeing change in your practice, say in the last 5 to 10 years? What is changing? Are you seeing a change with your approach or with what patients are looking for?
I think it's twofold, because my approach has to change because you're getting people walking in with a whole array of problems, so health problems, as well as just being disillusioned by medical fraternities. So it's not, I mean, I love doctors, I love specialists, they're amazing at what they do, but there's some things that they just can't help with, and this is where we fit in. So I find sometimes a problem seems to be so overwhelming, but all I have to do is just talk to my patients, start with the basic, and then really investigate and actually pick up the phone and call the specialist and ask them what is the problem, and what is your approach from it, and how do you think we could help this person? And most of the time, specialists are very open to talk to you. Normal doctors, they're very open into saying, okay, well, I don't want this patient to be on this medicine for too long, but I don't have any alternative at this point. And that's when we start looking at options. I've worked with brilliant specialists who've helped me wean their patients off their own medicine and me replacing it with something natural. And it's been a fundamental part of my practice, is helping people from both angles. What I'm finding as well is that over time, a lot of people want different solutions. We also end up being last resort. So that's also quite
that
a challenge.
Is so true.
Where it's like, you know what? I've been to 10 doctors. No one can help me. You better sort this out.
And I've run out of money. Can you do it for free?
Oh, just give me a really big discount. And it's so hard, because on the other end, we're sitting there saying, you know, I've got great tools in my toolbox, and let's use them. And then you walk in with someone with that, you know, because I think it's a lot of education that goes in to helping the patient understand that this is not going to be the same approach, and you have to be patient with this journey. So I do find also a lot of people who are on medical aid are happy to come in and spend more money out of medical aid, not even put their medical aid claims through, because they like, I refuse to be forced to go to a doctor, the same doctor or the same specialist or whatever, and I'm not getting better. It's a brand new world out there.
Yes. I think patients are becoming more aware that, you know, medicine is like everything else, where if you don't get the service you expect from this shop, you'll go to the next shop.
Yeah.
And I think doctors are more and more becoming aware that they've got to listen to patients from a different angle and think out of the box. And we didn't.
Sometimes it's hard.
It is hard.
You need to change what you've been taught. I mean, I've spoken to a GP, and she says to me, you can't actually blame doctors for not giving you nutritional advice and not giving you this.
They shouldn't.
And she said, yeah, she said, that's just not the way we were taught. We were taught to diagnose, look for pathology, and this is the medicine that goes with it. And that's pretty much what we do. I said, that is true. And then, so that means we have the wrong impression about what a doctor actually does.
Yes.
And that's where it starts from.
So how do you manage patient expectations? I find this very challenging.
It is. It's very challenging because, like you said, everyone is different and everyone has their own subjective expectation of what they should be getting. So some people walk in and they want to be sorted out within a week. And some people walk in and they understand this may take a bit long. My best way to explain it to my patient is that taking medicine is like a training, is like training wheels on your bicycle. Do you want to ride free, or do you want to be on those training wheels and carry on riding your bicycle every day like that? The second thing I tell them is, it's a 50-50 effort. So I can only help you with half of those things. You have to go home and do the other half. You have to change your diet. You have to apply the knowledge that you've learned, you've read on the internet, you've heard from me and other practitioners. You have to actually apply it. And that's where we're going to work together. Because it's hard to work with someone if they don't want to do the changes. So my options are, you either spend way more medicine with me, or up money on me with your medicine, and, you know, or you go home and you actually do the changes, like stretching or putting your feet up on the wall.
Getting
or
just sleep.
Yeah, drinking more water, having less tea, coffee, whatever it is. Just those little things. And I think that's a very realistic way of approaching it, is that you must do it day by day and give yourself healthy timelines, not unhealthy. Like the best is, I need to lose weight in a month, like 15 kilos. I'm like, you know, that's like a whole person. There's people out there who are 15 kilos and you want to lose that. It's not going to happen that way. Let's just be realistic. So it is kind of individual, because however, the bottom line is, it's a 50-50. Man, I'd love to come home with you and smack your hand every time you picked up chocolate or like throwing out things in your pantry. I'd love to do that, but you have to want to do that. And that's, you know, where it comes from.
And that's exactly right. It's got to come from them. You can only help them with your knowledge and tools. And they've still got to do the work.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is maybe 30, 40 years ago, we expected the banker, the doctor, maybe the school principal to fix everything.
Yes.
And the paradigm shifted completely.
It's so right, because it applies to every area in our lives. Like, you know, teaching. You expect the teacher, you know, to do everything for your kid. And, you know, it's hard. I work with an educational psychologist, and we always talk about these challenges and how at the end of the day, it all comes down to what you are willing to do, how much effort you are willing to put in it, because we are there on the other side as a support structure, a never-ending support structure. And whatever you need, you can always come and ask us. We can always help you. We'll always look for solutions, because that's how we're designed to think. We're designed to think out of the box. And that's a difficult part. So yeah, I think... So we're designed to think differently. We don't just look at it from a black and white perspective, because there are many facets to healing, many facets.
Yeah, what, you know, in the past couple of years as well, I know I'm sort of jumping timelines here, but what are you seeing with respect to women's health, how women are dealing with, there's a big movement away from synthetic hormone replacement. What is your opinion, for example, on that?
You know, that to me is something that has been so normal in our society. So normal to take a contraceptive. So normal to drag yourself up so, heaven forbid, you fall pregnant. or you get a pimple. I mean, really, it's, for me, it is a difficult situation. It's difficult for me sometimes to approach it with my patients because it's not, most of the time, it's not that woman who only wanted to be on it. It's, especially if there's a partner involved, it's also a decision that they have to make together about contraceptives. And I find it's, how can it be normal? No, my brain just doesn't think like that. So I've never, personally, I've never touched oral contraceptive. And I won't, because I've heard the dangers. We see that side of it. But, you know, again, it's up to you to make that choice, if you actually understand. And I'm not a sexist, but why? Why must we take all these drugs in order to, you know, you flood your body with so much of excessive fake hormones. Why can't men take something to, you know, control that?
Or get a vasectomy.
Yeah, yes. Nothing wrong with vasectomies or some kind of tablet. I'd love to see a man taking a tablet every day for the rest of their lives in order to make sure that their wife doesn't or partner doesn't fall pregnant. I mean, it sounds absurd, completely absurd, but it's pretty much what women have been doing there generationally. So for me, I do have quite a strong opinion on that. And from a health perspective, some people can tolerate it and some can't. And it's not a clear cut. So I do the DNA testing and we run the estrogen panel. And we actually can check if you are compatible with oral contraceptives or not. And if you are not, we'll show you the dangers of it. And if you are, we could use it. But you'd need to actually speak to your doctor about going on like the lowest dose possible, if you can, depending on what your health risk is. I've heard a really scary piece of information the other day, is that women, there are so many women that are taking oral contraceptives that they're weeing it out, obviously, byproducts and metabolites into our water system. And guess what? Our water system doesn't clean all of that. So we are getting tiny doses of oral contraceptives in our tap water every day.
And we're seeing young children menstruate earlier because the estrogens in the water. Seeing high levels of xenoestrogens in the food because of not only oral contraceptives in the water, but antidepressants.
Yes, all sorts of prescription medicine.
It's actually quite frightening how robust these products are, that they can survive sanitation and water systems and
that's
digestion.
True, they're quite fighters, see?
So, yeah. Look, and you know, there's a place for allopathic medicine, but the risk, you've got to weigh up the risk versus reward. I see a lot of menopausal women you know, there's two camps. One is we'll stay on our HRT, and the other is please get me off
something
this.
Else. Yes, that's exactly what I'm seeing.
As a doctor, what do you do?
Well, that to me is, we definitely have to look at hormones and where we're sitting at right now. So we do the bloods. If it's something quite severe, then we definitely look at the Dutch panel and things like that. But definitely, you can work with the symptoms. So it's all about changing the lifestyle as well that goes along with it. And I use a lot of natural hormone pro...
bioidenticals?
Not so much bioidenticals, more hormone builders. And we work on the whole steroidogenic pathway. So we look at what's happening with your cortisol, what's happening with your testosterone, what's helping with your... what's affecting your pregnenolone, because that is where it comes from. How's your cholesterol looking? So if you don't look at it from that perspective, you can't just... you know, pick on poor little estrogen for being the problem, or the lack of estrogen being the problem. I look at it very holistically. I don't put my patients on medicine until we have some kind of objective test to say, okay, this is our starting point. Let's go ahead and start with treatment.
Let's talk about the importance of testing, because it's really impossible to be effective without testing. So let's talk about what blood tests are, the bare minimum that everybody should be doing once a year.
At least once a year, cholesterol, vitamin D, definitely. I mean, vitamin D3 in our country is... I'm yet to see one patient who walks in and has the most amazing D3 levels. I'm being really serious. I've never seen a patient with optimum D3 levels. Cholesterol, D3, for females, definitely all your female hormones. Iron profile, just a basic blood count. So red, white, and platelets. And then, yeah, I think those are your basics.
Sugars, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe insulin and glucose. But if there's not really, you know, something on that side, it's always good. And thyroid, I see a lot of thyroid, unsuspecting thyroid. You know, people walk in and they have no idea, and I'm like, let's just do one just to make sure it's, we're not dealing with a problem. And I do pick up a lot of thyroid issues that are go unnoticed. But also in saying that, lab references are all different. Optimum is what you hope for and what you aim for, which is not usually on the blood forms. And that's where you have to go into a lot of research and interpretation from the practitioner side. Also, everyone's different. So some of my patients have got like slightly underactive thyroids, but they're like normal.
They're not symptomatic.
Yeah, they're not symptomatic. I've got patients who I can show them, look, you, when you had your thyroid issues, you felt like this. We've brought your levels down. You're not on any medication anymore. And they go through a period of stress. We do the tests again. And they're literally sitting on the fence or falling into hypothyroidism. And I'm like, look, this is your red flag. So it's really, really important to be critical about those optimum levels and the reference ranges you get. But yeah, that's the best part of natural medicine.
Yeah. So stress.
Mm.
I've seen this, the levels of burnout in my practice escalate over the last couple of years. Like nothing else. And your experience? Yeah.
I was shocked. I'll tell you a story. My sister came to visit me, and she was sitting in my office, and we were just having a chat, and she said to me, you know what? I need something for December because I've got a really hectic season, and, you know, December's crazy with, like, family and kids and activities and all the...
Okay, just wait. She needed something to calm down for the holiday period.
Yeah, at least wow. She was honest enough to say it. I'll be honest, because what I see is January and everyone's so fatigued from their holidays with their family.
There's something wrong with this picture.
clearly wrong with this picture. Too much pressure. So I said, okay, cool, I'll give you something. And I opened my drawer and I was like, I have this. And she's like, why do you have so much of stress medicine? And I looked at her and I was shocked that she picked that up. And I said, wow, I didn't even realize I keep so much of like medicine to help with stress management. And it was a real eye-opener because I was like, wow, I think the reason why I've been stocking is like almost every patient that comes to see me, we start off with a adrenal like fatigue sort of protocol. Because most of your diseases stem from that. But yeah, definitely, I'm seeing so much of stress.
What are your top homeopathic remedies and even your botanicals that you use for stress?
My favorite is all the adaptogens. So the adaptogens are probably the most life-saving of all the herbal medicines I've ever used. So the mushrooms, particularly cordyceps. Yes. I remember having a conversation with you about that a long time ago.
Big fan of mushrooms.
Oh, me too. I love the mushrooms. Cordyceps, I mean, personally, I've seen myself, like the results of that, incredible results with using cordyceps. Ginseng, rhodiola, those are found really good. And then your nutritional deficiencies, all your B vitamins, they must be methylated though. So even if you don't have methylation issues, you still must be on methylated Bs, B5, B6, B12.
Can you explain for anyone listening what methylation is?
So methylation is basically how your DNA gets repaired using B vitamins. That's just the basics. Also, it is a very important heart health contributor. Okay. Yeah. So we test, and your cardiologist would test for something called homocysteine. Homocysteine's been quite big in the like early 2000s. It became something that's been so well known due to like functional testing. I think especially in America, that's filtered throughout the world. And homocysteine is a byproduct that your heart tissue makes when you are not looking so great. It's a bit of a risk factor marker for stroke and heart attack. What helps bring down homocysteine is methylated Bs, and particularly folate and B12. So if your folate and B12 levels are adequate, you're helping your heart health, you're helping detox very well. Impacts hugely on your detox system. And it also helps repair your DNA, which is something that we don't really care about till we get cancer, right? So repairing your DNA sounds so pedantic and it sounds so far removed from what you can actually see, where I see it on my patient's face. They look at me and they're like, so what if my DNA is a bit damaged? Doesn't my body fix it? Yeah, it's quite technical, but it's absolutely pertinent because you're not going to see that short-term effect of having broken DNA tomorrow when you wake up in the morning. You're going to see it years, months, perhaps, depending on your stress levels.
Well, it's like insurance. You know, you don't know that you need it until you need it.
Exactly.
But what I see with methylated bees very quickly is a change in brain coherence, focus, and energy.
Completely, completely. Myself, being basically plant-based eating, I've tried a lot of B vitamins on the market. I've tried so many. I mean, it's amazing how, you know, you walk into the sweetie shop, i.e. a pharmacy or a health shop, and it's just sweeties on the shelf that people just want to take. And I've tried a lot of Bs, and I've never seen a marked difference in the effect of it till I started using methylated Bs. And I don't have methylation problems, well, when I check on my DNA panel, but I still take methylated Bs, and what a difference. Mm. What a difference. So I find prophylactic care, that's another thing that I was, you know, thinking about when I'm talking about all of this. Prophylactic care is so undervalued. And only now am I seeing people really concerned about the future of their health. I think it's because we're seeing a lot of, like you said, menopausal women, a lot of hormonal related cancers, a lot of sick elderly people. Not even elderly, actually, age is like a really bad, not a great determinant. Young people getting sick, you know, 50s and 60s, that's still young. You know, 40s, having really hectic diseases, and kids looking at their parents saying, I don't want that, I don't want to be like that. What can I do now to prevent that?
Yes.
So prophylactic health, I think that's where the shift is going. And that's how it should be. That's where our place is to do prophylactic health. Like you said, insurance.
Prevention. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, and as you said, the sweetie shop, there is so much. People are so confused. And most of the stuff out there is pointless because it hasn't been made or manufactured properly. Or it's been manufactured cheaply.
Yeah.
And what is your, I mean, you would probably stock very good quality products. You know your products well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of certification and good manufacturing practice certification that goes into a well-made product. What do you look for in a good supplement? If you had to tell somebody who's got a limited budget, what are your top three and what do you look for?
I would say look for, like exactly like you said, the certifications on it to actually prove that they've done some kind of testing. The second thing is that try go for individual, not cocktails, especially on the shelf. Because if you want to take a vitamin C, take a good vitamin C, but take a vitamin C on its own. A multivit, I'll be very honest, my personal opinion on multivitamins is that they don't really work.
Yeah.
Because how do you taste a multivitamin? How do you know the multivitamin is working? What are you looking for to see, okay, I'm taking this multivitamin, I should feel X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
What are the parameters that you're looking for? So I personally don't prescribe multivitamins. I don't recommend multivitamins because I believe, you know, definitely the diet must kick in, and that's where we get a lot of it from.
Well, yeah, but if you're not digesting your food, you're not going to be digesting that multivitamin anyway.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also for people who are, like, immune compromised, or, you know, the usual kiddie diet of mac cheese, sausages, and chips, they're going to need a multivitamin for a time being. But only temporary. It should not be a daily thing. And I think that's a big marketing ploy, is having a multivitamin to, like, you know, catch all the little holes where you have not, you know, covered with your diet. And it's just a false way of thinking. So definitely certification is the number one. Don't fall for marketing, and don't fall for false hopes, you know?
Yes, there is no Wonder Pill.
Yeah, my favorite, and I say that very sarcastically, is diet pills.
Oh,
that's my absolute favorite. I love spending time in my day thinking about them because they are a joke. They play on your insecurities.
Yes.
They play on the fact that you don't like yourself. So take me. Take 100 tablets of me and then you'll start liking yourself more. No, it doesn't work like that. If they really worked, we would not have weight issues. In the world, we'd have no weight issues because everyone would probably be on them.
Absolutely. And I think common sense simply goes out the window.
Thank you. That's exactly what it is, common sense. But yeah, definitely quality individual supplements. And then before you spend your money, go and see a practitioner. Rather save up. If you're on a limited budget, have one session with a homeopath, for example, or a functional medicine doctor that, or a nutritionist who's got, you know, a wealth of information, and talk to them. What do I really need? Tell them about your diet. Tell them about your lifestyle. Tell them about your sleep, your menstrual cycle, your, you know, going to the toilet habits, all of that stuff. They will be able to guide you so that thereafter you can go and, you know, by it yourself if you don't want to do back and forth, you know, because the follow-up is always the... Yeah, the part that people don't really like coming for.
Sure. And the more questions and the more, you know, information you can give a practitioner, the more they can help you.
Exactly.
But it's also the place of the practitioner to ask questions that no one thinks of. Yeah. So if your doctor or your dietitian or your homeopath or whomever you're going to isn't asking about daily bowel movements, about your sleep quality and hydration and your moods and all of these things that go into making you a healthy person, you should probably be looking somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree completely. You have to be, you need to be challenged when it comes to your own health beliefs, because if you don't, you're not going to make any changes. That's what I believe.
For sure. Yeah. And it's everything in life.
Yeah, you can't heal from a place
of denial.
Yeah, or a place, however you got to being where you got to now, you must, you have contributed to that. You know, don't think for one second that it's random.
There's no random.
Yeah,
everything, no random. Unfortunately, is a choice we've made, and that's everything in our lives somewhere
like
along the way.
It's like a bank account. But I don't put money into my savings.
Sure.
Don't sit there and wonder at the end of the year, where's my money?
Yeah. And it's not up to the doctor to fix you either.
We've said that. It's definitely big time management. That's what happens. You're going to be managed by the doctor, and you're going to be helped by the doctor, and you'll be supported by the doctor, but you're not going to be fixed. You yourself have to also be part of that journey. And yeah, I don't like that old school system of like you sit in front of the doctor and he scares the crap out of you and you just go home and listen to what he says. You take the tablets and move on. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be an open conversation, a building, a functional, happy relationship where we're building something together. So, yeah, it sounds very romantic, but I love it.
That's what works.
Yeah,
it really does work. Let's talk about your journey. You've had your own health issues, and I don't know anybody in this field who hasn't had their own challenges. And I think it's part of the school that we all have to go through to understand what goes on.
The other school, the one that you don't get a degree for. Yes, that one. Yeah, definitely had my own health challenges. I think it started with being diagnosed with Hashimoto about 6-7 years ago. And yeah, even myself as a practitioner, you know, you don't really know, you know the book theory, but you don't know the street and yourself and the terrain that you're dealing with. So when I got diagnosed, it was quite shocking for me. I kind of expected it, because, you know, you kind of fall into that, well, my mom had it, so I'll get it. It doesn't have to be that way now, you know, in hindsight. But so I kind of accepted it as something that was, you know, normal, and I'm just going to have to go through it, and I'm probably going to be in medicine for a long time. And, you know, you go through these journeys, and I looked at myself and I said, but what have I done to, like, trigger off this disease? And I had to look at myself really, really critically, and not in a judgmental way, but really, what have I done that I'm I've got this diagnosis now? So I've had to change a lot of things and a lot of beliefs that I had about what was healthy and what is not healthy, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And sure, came out of it, 5 years later, a different person. Yeah. I mean, if someone told me, you'll be eating salad for lunch every day, I would have laughed at them if they told me I'd be doing that in the future. But that's who I am now. And I'll be honest enough to say that I don't have Hashimoto's anymore. I don't even like saying it, that I had it, because I want to be a victim. So yes. I have cured my own Hashimoto's. I don't have an autoimmune disease anymore.
Yes, and autoimmune is curable.
Yeah.
If you have an experience of autoimmune, you don't have to live with it.
Exactly. And I'm living proof. And that has just bolstered me into motivating my patients even more to say, look, I have gone this route and I've been through the whole... you know, ups and downs. And, you know, when you get your diagnosis, it's depressing, you know, and you kind of, it's easy to fall into the victim mindset and use your disease to hide behind and use your disease to say, oh, well, it's, I'm tired and it's because I've got this thyroid issue, or I've picked up weight and it's because I have a thyroid issue. And it's not, it's not supposed to be like that. Mm-hmm. And that also is a very unhealthy way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So I had to, yeah, went through my own journey of really, you know, putting my big goal panties on and getting on with it, because I do not believe in being sick all the time. I want to be a person that is living proof of, you know, this is what you, if you're willing to commit, these are the results. And I came out the other end. Yes, I've lost a little bit of weight, but it's not the end goal for me. Yes, I've learned how to eat a lot more healthier. It is not even a lamenting choice anymore. It is my new normal, to the point where if I even try to eat unhealthy, like I think I went out about 3 weeks ago, and it was one of those late nights, and you end up going to one of those late night joints to get something to eat before you go home. And I haven't had cheese in a long time, and I ordered a mozzarella toasted ciabatta with a small cappuccino. Do you know how sick I was for 5 days? I was like, wow, okay, I just can't go back there.
This is what other people feel like on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
So my body and my mind has learned a new way of living that actually prevents me from getting any other diseases. And your body will tell you, don't do this. So I've had to learn how to be a lot more intuitive. And that has allowed me to help my patients be more intuitive. And look, you're going to get sick. I mean, I had a really bad sore throat this year. I'm not going to be perfect. And your health is not supposed to be that way. But I also realized that compared to previous years, I almost never get ill. And if I do, it's really short and I'm, you know, back to normal within 3 or 4 days. And that's a really good turnaround for having any sort of acute disease or acute problem. So, yeah, I find it that it... I like to help people understand that you can get better if you're willing to put your mind to it. No disease is a death sentence. No disease can be a death sentence.
Yes.
Unless you make it that way.
Yes. Mm. For people who don't understand what Hashimoto's is, can you explain that?
So it's an underactive thyroid, but an autoimmune variety. Sounds very glamorous, but not great when you're living with it. So your immune system starts producing antibodies that like to attack your thyroid. So by having that action on your thyroid, you find that you don't have enough thyroid hormone floating around. And your thyroid is so important for your metabolism. It's so important for your heart health. It's so important for brain health, neurological development. Your thyroid has access to hormones. They have access to every cell in your body because they inevitably control what's going to be done in those cells. So it is a far-reaching disease and it affects a lot of systems. And obviously, you know, the first that people will notice is the physical change. And they think that's the problem. You know, they're losing eyebrow hair or their hair's falling out or they're picking up weight and they're feeling sluggish and tired. And it goes a lot deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And helping the autoimmune variety also takes, you know, a lot of managing your stress. I mean, I can't treat thyroid without adrenal treatment.
Yes.
Every patient that I see with a thyroid disease gets adrenal treatment. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. They have to, because that stress is what inevitably triggers off your immune system going berserk.
So I wanted to ask you, you were diagnosed with Hashimoto's 6-7 years ago. What happened 2-3 years before that?
Oh, wow. Huge amounts of stress.
Yeah.
Huge, huge. And it wasn't even, I would say, not even a few years. I would say maybe 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
Realistically, 1 or 2 years where we had 1 or 2 years it took for my system to hit complete meltdown. And yeah, it was a lot. It was emotional stress. It was physical stress that I just had this inability to cope with. And looking back, this is almost no way I could have really prevented it. I think I was just going to go down that road until my mindset and my eating habits and my health changed. Yeah. So it was probably one of the best things and the worst things that could have happened to me, because it allowed me to challenge myself and think out of the box and really look for a solution that helped, and a consistent solution and a discipline to sticking to it, and not in a harsh way. I mean, people get so scared when they hear those terms, like, oh, it's going to be hard and I don't know if I can do it. And yeah, you don't know what you can do until you actually put your mind to it and try it. So the health, the choices, just like the simple diet choices, were, I mean, it was a challenge, but you have to see the end goal. You have to apply yourself. And that's what I did. And it took a little bit longer. And I, you know, I honed into it. I sharpened it. I went for the like genetic testing, then DNA testing. And I tried different exercises out. I tried different ways of eating. And I found what works for me with the help of other people as well. So it is a journey. And it is a life-changing journey, but wow, so much better on the other end. Mm.
And the way you treat patients now, knowing this?
Oh, exactly the same. Yeah. Also understanding where that patient is in their journey and helping them understand where they are and giving them a little bit of hope and perspective by saying, you know, this is where you are now. Where do you want to be? And let's look at a realistic plan and how we can get there. So it's a lot more... a gentle approach, I would say. Some people walk in and they're just like, oh man, I don't want this, you know, and I don't see them again. And I know it's because they were just looking for something short term, but anything, you know, why did we go to school for 12 years? You know, we're not going to learn everything in a short space of time. It's the same thing with your body. Give your body a chance to heal, give it the right environment, apply the change, and we'll get there. So it's definitely the best way to approach health, honestly.
So where to from here for you? You mentioned that you were going to dive into PNI, which is my favorite subject.
I know. I had no idea you liked it and you were doing it and you're a practitioner. I'm so impressed.
So PNI is understanding the mind-body connection and how our thoughts really do influence our expression, our gene expression, and our inflammatory markers.
That's it.
And it gives you a... big level of control over your health. What prompted you to want to go down that road? Because it's a whole other field.
Oh, completely. And I was completely enthralled and fascinated by it when I came across it. And exactly like what you said. So that's, for me, there's always been a much deeper meaning to healing. You know, it's not just what you eat and what medicines you take. It's not just about what disease you have, because we're living in a time where inflammation is the cause of so many diseases. Where on earth is this inflammation coming from? It can't just be our diet, because not all of us are eating badly, you know. It can't just be medicine or your work or whatever. I mean, where is this coming from? And so I came across PNI and went for a very interesting introduction talk, and that's what I'm studying this year. And I'm really excited about it, because personally I've seen the changes I've had to make mentally, emotionally, in order to accept where I am, in order to challenge my beliefs, in order to push myself out of negative, unhealthy ways of thinking. And I've seen how just by doing that, my health changes. So last year, every year I do an annual retreat where I do something for myself and I go away for a few days. And it's so nice because there's no cell phone signal and the important people in my life know where I am. So there's no stress about me disappearing or anything like that. And it is proper downtime. It's time for me. And last year I decided to challenge myself and do an emotional eating course or a retreat that helped people deal with that. Because I myself am an emotional eater, and I've always wanted to find out, why do I do this? You know, what is the problem? So yeah, I can emotionally eat with cucumbers and celery, and that's still not a great thing. And what is the problem? So let's get into that. So I went on this course and I did a few little experiments on myself, and I said, I am, first of all, the week I was going, and I wanted to go buy some snacks. So now I walk into this health shop and I said, right, we're going to get some snacks, but it has to be healthy. Oh my God, no, you can't have this. No, you can't. Don't take chocolate. I mean, you're going for an emotional eating course. How can you take chocolate? And I was like, wow. I took a step back and looked at myself and I was like, who is this person who's like micromanaging and you're making this such a stressful event. And so I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to take something realistic. So I literally took 2 bags of rice chips, half a slab of like a small mini slab of dark chocolate, like pure dark chocolate. And I was like, right, that's what we're going to eat as snacks this weekend. And we're not going to think about food and stress about something so silly. It's food, man. Come on. So
pull yourself together.
Yeah. So I get there and this retreat I go to has the most amazing food. I mean, they make bread. So obviously they use healthy, like ground flours, like whole grain flours and things like that. But it's not like super healthy. It's good food. It's nourishing food. It's delicious food. It comes, I mean, all the veggies that they cook grow in their garden and that's what they cook. And the breads are freshly baked and it's like great ingredients. But, you know, bread, everyone is like, oh, bread is the devil. So I was like, okay, you know what? You can eat whatever you want to eat this weekend. We're not going to stress about it because you're at your happy place and we're going to be happy. So just do what you want. So the whole weekend, I ate like 4 slices of bread a day, man. I was like, this is the best. I was so happy. I ate this great food. I went for walks. I was in such a great space. And I was wearing stretchy pants the whole weekend. And on the Sunday when I was leaving, I took a pair of jeans with me. And I thought, you know, well, you know what? If the jeans are tight, it's fine. You've got enough stretchy pants in your bag. You can just put on one of those. So I put those jeans on and they're loose. Do I get home and weigh myself? Have I lost like about 0.5 kilo then? How does that happen? And that's what triggered off this. There is way, way more. If your mindset and your approach is healthier. Look, I'm not advocating eating like what I did that weekend. It was purely experimental for a short period of time. But I saw that shift and I continued to lose 2 kilos of weight after that because I realized that there's so much more to being happy, to losing weight.
It's not and being just healthier. Dieting and cutting out food.
There's and
such a big match.
Forbidding yourself and being mean to yourself. And I'm not saying you need to be the exact opposite, but there's degrees and just understanding where it comes from within you. And that's when I came across PNI. Serendipitously and decided to do that this year because I really believe personally as well as with my patients that a big part of your healing journey is having better thoughts and feelings about whatever is happening. So if your stress levels are bad and say you don't like your job, not all of us can change our jobs, you know, some of us have to pretty much stay there. But how do we change our approach to that? How do we make ourselves better, more resilient, more healthier, more emotionally happier, able to find joy in other things other than work? How do you do that? And that's what I want to study this year. And that's what I want to help my patients with. It's a huge thing. I mean, you've been doing it for years, so you can be my little mentor next year. So I'm looking forward to that now. I'm going to bug you.
Yeah. You know, anything we can do to grow our own knowledge, but help people better is just, it's incredible. But it's so interesting.
Completely.
The knowledge is just, with the collaboration of knowledge nowadays, there it's almost limitless to what we can learn and do and put out there. Mm. So there is hope. It's just going to take another angle.
Oh, definitely. And that is for me the real journey is eating healthy, thinking healthy, feeling healthy, and it comes from within you. Yeah. You just need you need people to help you and guide you.
You need a team.
Yeah.
And this has been a theme through all these episodes is who's your team?
That's a great way of saying it,
Is your team actually toxic?
Mm.
Or are they really, really there for you and choosing the right people to support you? Because we all need support. Nobody
can't do this alone.
No. Otherwise, we'd all live on a separate planet.
Yes, exactly.
Ridiculous.
And even if you try to do it alone, I always say just, you know, open your mind up to challenging yourself. You know, you have to be able to do that. You have to, even your palate. I mean, I talk to people all the time about just, you know, exploring. You don't have to change your diet completely, but you need to explore different foods and try them out before, you know, most people make up their minds before they even, you know.
And that's really important with kids. Get that palate expanded.
Oh, completely.
Have a much healthier child.
Yeah, completely. I agree. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing is that you see a lot of adults who've just stayed eating like how they did as kids.
So true.
Yeah, with the addition of other unhealthy habits in between. But, you know, it is. And it comes from that deep. It comes from that nurture perspective. That where what you were taught as like a very young person about what was good for you and what wasn't.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a very interesting topic, and I really look forward to putting it and, integrating it into my practice, because it's a huge part of healing. I'm at a point now where I use medicine to help with the basics and diet as well, but it's not going to be all. And I can't work like that. I can't, see you, chat to you, give you your medicines, and you're out the door. It's like you're coming to me and you have quite a serious disease, and we need to get to the bottom of it. And how can we give you longevity,
Quality of life.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so excited to have had a great chat with you. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
So all of your contact details, social media handles will be on the podcast page, which I'll put up for everyone who wants to contact you directly. And yes, have a absolutely wonderful day going forward. Can't wait to see where you go to next. And good luck with the P&I. You're going to absolutely love it.
Oh, can't wait. Thank you very much.
This episode has been sponsored by Jackson's Whole Food Market. If you would like to win a hamper full of delicious, healthy products, please go to the link in the show notes, which can be found at reinventhealth.co.za/podcast notes. Include your name and loyalty card number and stand a chance to win.